All right, 5 p.m. on Friday. It's the bewitching hour. The Jimi Hendrix hour. You know, they could do a Jimi Hendrix hour here at the station. I never thought that that would have been possible because his career seemed so short. You'd figure that, well, you really can't do that. There's only so many albums. It's not enough. And now that we've, like, decided the series, I'm realizing that we definitely, you could really dedicate a show to Jimi Hendrix. Sorry, folks. Hi, my name is Tom Ryan, and the show is American Hit Radio. With me, my lovely wife and co-host, Heidi Morales Ryan. We're here every Wednesday and Friday between 5 and 6. Fridays, we call the show How Music Changed because we pick a topic and we, well, you could say we run it into the ground, or you could say that we really cover it in a very, very detailed way. I like the second way. Jimi Hendrix is definitely somebody that we're covering in a detailed manner. This is show number 19. We're doing this chronologically. We're up to the spring of 1969. So we are getting into the later years of his career. So by 1969, though, Jimmy was struggling to keep his band together, The Experience. It was beginning to fall apart. But at the same time, he was happy to be playing with as many qualified players as possible. At this point, he bounced back and forth between sessions and live performances with The Experience, and then other sessions and live performances with different players, and even some solo work. So today is just going to be a small sample of what he was up to in the months before the summer of 69, when he closed out the Woodstock Festival, which is where we'll be going next week. So let's pick it up. This is Jimmy in the studio. We did a couple of tracks last week from him in the studios in February 22nd, when he was in, I believe it was in North Hollywood, California. This is one of those tracks that we didn't get to fit in then, so we'll squeeze it in now. Jimmy performing Hound Dog Blues.
What'd he say? What's the name of it? It's Hound Dog Blues, Hound Dog Blues. Okay, go one, two. One, two, three, four.
I cannot get over how many hot tracks it is that I've been able to dig up. when I committed to do this, it stuns me. Some of them are hard to find, and a great collection is called the West Coast Seattle Boy. That's responsible for a lot of the deep tracks that I found. And that purple box set with the felt on the box was actually another pretty cool source. And this next recording is from that. Everybody knows the Star Spangled Banner that he did in Woodstock. And I thought that that was something that he just pulled out of his hat, so to speak, and did it there for the first time. It turns out that there are multiple versions of it that he performed live before Woodstock. And this is rather interesting. There's a studio version. He had actually, he recorded Electric Ladyland, the album Electric Ladyland, in the record plant in New York City. So now the date is March 18th, 1969. He's back in New York, and he goes to the studio record plant, and they pulled out the old 12-track that he recorded that entire album on, and they put in a new 16-track system. This got Jimmy all excited. So he decides that he's going to basically record a solo track. And he decides to record the Star Spangled Banner by himself. No bass, no drums, no nothing. Just him on this brand new recording, this brand new board. And it's rather interesting because his producer, Eddie Kramer, had said this: "I was intrigued by the fact that Jimmy was able to make the guitar sound like an early synthesizer, predating the guitar synthesizers that came in later. It just showed another aspect of his playing. His variety of tone colors were limitless." So yeah, this is Jimmy just being able to make himself sound like anything he wanted. The studio version of the Star Spangled Banner.
Thank you.
that is light years away from the version that everybody knows from Woodstock. I guess just that's by virtue of the fact that it was recorded in the studio rather than live. But there it is, a studio recording of the Star-Spangled Banner. All right, so the next track is actually Jimmy with the Experience. They were going to be working on a fourth album. That was Jimmy's intent. That's what he was hoping for at this point of time, and at this point in time. And if you go back to like one of the earlier shows that we had done when the Experience first came together, it might have been around show number three or so, when they put out their very first 45, the A side was Hey Joe, and the B side was Stone Free in England. It was not released in America. When Jimmy, and if you remember, Jimmy was like remained unknown in America for quite a while. He was very popular in England, and we did about three shows with Jimmy still being the unknown guy in America. So when the album finally did come out in America, the first album, Why You Experienced, they ignored Stone Free. They didn't put it on the album as it was a B-side of an old single. So Jimmy thought it'd be a really good idea to re-record it, and then it would be able to go onto his new album. But instead, when he actually did this and put it all together, the label was like, yeah, no thanks. You know what we'll do? We'll take the old original one, and we're going to put out a greatest hits album called Smash Hits. Since you already released that, we could put that onto the greatest hits album, which kind of like derailed what Jimmy had intended in the first place. So here it is, this like updated version of a song, Jimmy making it cooler than it was in the 66 version, but it ended up sort of like being shelved, which is sort of a drag. Here's the second then, or the re-recorded version of Stone Free.
Thank you.
That's a 1969 update of a 1968 track recorded in April. April 7th, to be exact. Now, this next track, I really wish I had more information. But I don't. All I know is it happened a week later, April 14th, and it is buried on that West Coast Seattle Boy compilation that I was talking about. And it's probably the longest track in this series of what of this entire series of all the things I'm going to play. All that I can tell you, the only information that I found, is that it was recorded at the Record Plant, like I said, a week later from Stone Free on April 14th, 1969, and eventually mixed at North Hollywood, California. The damn thing is almost 21 minutes long, and it's called Young Hendrix. Let it rip, Jimmy. 90.3 WHPC, WHPC HD, Garden City. We'll be right back. You know, in the old days, they used to say that DJs would play in a Gotta Da Vida if they needed to, like, get out of this, the studio for a cigarette break or something. That was nothing if you had this track. It was another five, gave you five more minutes. I didn't get up. I sat here. I was compelled. I sat through the whole thing. In fact, I had to do the station announcement there in the middle. So, you know, I didn't go anywhere. We're playing our way through Jimi Hendrix, and I'm trying to find out some of the more interesting bits. And we are right now in the spring of 1969. It was a while back, Heidi, when we were playing just a 90-second version of a track called Room Full of Mirrors, something that Jimmy had come up with.
Well, this one's considerably longer.
Yes, and considerably different, because the history, this is where things come to a head. Basically, between him and Noel Redding, the bass player. I may as well just read what it says. Although I don't agree completely with everything that it says. Jimmy was like, he says, despite the rising expense, Jimmy was determined to continue recording in the studio. The studio increasingly became his personal refuge, allowing him to close out the world and focus on his music. But no artist of Hendrix's era used the recording studio as a workspace to write new material. I disagree with that to some extent, because I know that Miles Davis would gather everybody and they would record in the studio. But they weren't really jamming. They'd go in and they'd have their sessions done in a couple of days. So their point is taken. The cost for such an exercise were considered much too prohibitive, and the atmosphere typically uninspiring. Jimmy was undaunted by the financial costs. Even in the presence of his cadre of friends and hangers-on, the record plant became the venue for his continued musical exploration. Burdened with an exhaustive schedule of personal appearances, the tense relationship between Hendrix and bassist Noel Redding further deteriorated. Frustrated, Hendrix reached out to his old friend Billy Cox, whom he had served in the U.S. Army and performed on the famed R&B Chitlin circuit prior to leaving for New York. If you heard shows 1 and 2, you would have known that. The bassist reunited with Jimmy backstage at an Experience concert in Memphis on April 18, 1969. Just 3 days later, joined him in the record plant. On this very date, April 21, this exploration, the version you're about to hear of Room of Full of Mirrors, marked Billy Cox's first session with Jimmy. The two, joined by an unidentified drummer and percussionist, roared through 31 spirited takes. This is Jimmy jamming in an effort to perfect one of Jimmy's most promising new songs. What you're about to hear is take 31 of Room Full of Mirrors, with Billy Cox on bass and Adios Noel Redding. I'm sorry to say.
Okay, here we go. No, don't forget that boom, boom. Whatever you do, as long as you got that boom, boom. Because the bass will be kicking right with you. Okay, here we go. Yeah. But don't stop that tambourine. Don't stop that cymbal, though. Okay, here we go one more time. The whole world is
all of my dreams are jumping in my bed. And making love to the temple of pizza in my bed.
Woo. All right. We got room for one more, which is a live track. Then we're going to put out a live album that ended up not happening. This is one of the tracks recorded at the LA Forum on April 26th, 1969, that would have been part of that live album. It's a version of I Don't Live Today. Join us next week. I believe we're going to be covering Woodstock on Friday, and not just the stuff that you heard on the triple album, so it should be fun. Hope you can join us. See you then.
We'll sit down. Let's get the rest of this thing over with, okay? If you sit down now, we can play a little bit longer, because I feel like playing. I don't feel like looking at these cats' blue hats. Yeah, don't worry. Everything's going to be all right. Don't worry. We still got the end to come, don't we? Okay, settle down. Okay, we all feel the same way. So let's dedicate this to the Smothers Brothers and to ourselves and to the American Indians. And let's call it I Don't Live Today. Maybe tomorrow, I can't say. Existing. It's not a shame, nothing but existing, baby.